This is what I sound like. I'm sorry.
The mic is up here.
This is it?
Yeah.
This is what I woke up sounding like today. I apologize. I don't think I've lost my voice 3 times in my 70 years. This morning was the day. I apologize. I will do my best. Okay, I've worked with the deaf community for over a decade, and I'm here today to tell you a little bit about our tobacco-related efforts together. Who are the deaf and hard of hearing? We estimate that about 10% of the population, but there is nowhere that I can find that number. As a matter of fact, I just went to some of the booths in the exhibit hall, said, does anybody have a number? My co-authors on papers are constantly giving me a hard time. It's a tough population to pin down because it's not usually an audiological definition. It's more a definition of association with the deaf community, and yet profoundly deaf people, people born deaf, may not feel associated with the community whatsoever. So it's a little bit tricky. Do people use ASL, American Sign Language, or Signed English, or other languages? It's a very difficult population to pin down. So usually if we do programs, we allow people to self-identify, and then we get a full range of folks. About 1 in 10 of the people we consider deaf and hard of hearing really are profoundly deaf and cannot understand speech as we consider it in everyday life. Frequently, this is a population that is underserved, poor, with limited employment opportunities, with low literacy levels. Adults read on a fourth or fifth grade reading level. So the whole question, and English, for most deaf people, is a second or third language. American Sign Language is closer to Chinese in syntax and vocabulary. Some of you may know. Why are we studying tobacco? I feel like I'm preaching to the choir. It's a major public health problem. Begins in childhood. Prevention is obviously one of the keys. And there's a focus on school health, particularly in this population. There's a lot of dilemma about whether school health works and school programs work. But if you ask deaf adults, where did you go to school? Many of us would answer in terms of college. They will inevitably answer in terms of high school. The school they went to in elementary school and all, this is a real focus of deaf community life. So, and if you ask people, where should we intervene? Very often you will hear, absolutely go to the schools. So we did that. Why this program of research? This is an underserved population, an at-risk population. There are barriers to research participation, to survey comprehension and the like. We here see two youngsters here signing very much into their own language. We did a program of research funded by the California Tobacco-Related Diseases Research Program, TRDRP. We did survey research and qualitative in-depth interviews. We had close to 600 college and high school and middle school students that we surveyed. I believe in a first ever survey focusing on tobacco, as far as I have ever been able to find out. And we found real gaps in understanding, knowledge, aware of advertising, absolutely, and yet counter-advertising, not so much. We then developed a school curriculum and did a quasi-experimental randomized controlled trial I mentioned to you. This was in our survey. We created a laptop computer, an interactive computer. You could use any one of 3 languages. It was signed to you. You could respond. This doesn't look so innovative to me now in 2011, but when we did it over a decade ago, we struggled to get a computer that would work. I show this because we had in our qualitative interviews, what we found by many people is they weren't sure if this was a tobacco advertisement or not. You can say, well, don't be silly, it says it right there. Well, it says it right there if you read English. But if you don't read English, it's a fairly subtle thing. Everybody knows the Marlboro Man. How about this one? Why don't you read this one back to me? Now, I live in a very diverse community. Inevitably, I'll have a student who'll read it back to me, which misses my point entirely. This is very difficult for most of us. So the very fact that when you're talking about a low literacy population, the kinds of subtle and interesting messages we have are often quite lost in this field. Okay, our randomized trial, quasi-experimental, we went to 4 schools for the deaf in 3 states, California, New Jersey, and Minnesota. We did a student baseline survey, and then a survey at the beginning and end of 3 years. We did a faculty survey of 166 students. I have never seen this kind of work done elsewhere. If you have, by all means, please let me know. And we had our faculty examine our curriculum. And our baseline survey, we found that, yes, most schools, a quarter of them don't have even a school policy, school for the deaf. But that we found that that at least in these four schools, we found that there was very little tobacco programming. And when we ask people, you can look at these numbers yourself, when we ask people why, very often what they would say, well, there's no material for our people. Things are written at too high a level, or they're not visual enough, or it just doesn't match our needs. So we decided to work on our curriculum, Hands Off Tobacco. It was for grades 7 through 12. It was a complete curriculum with a life skills approach. We developed a video at California School for the Deaf Fremont. They even developed a second video that the youngsters made themselves. It was tailored to the deaf. I ask you to particularly pay attention to this list of tailoring. Tailoring is an interesting concept. When you get right down to it, what is it you mean? Now, if it's a video, it's going to be signed. There's no dilemma there. But in a written curriculum, simplicity, trying to minimize language usage, which is not always easy, written language, repetition, emphasis on visual elements, hands-on activities, modular elements that you can plug into different classrooms, bits and pieces. We rarely could get a teacher who was willing to do the whole nine yards. And images of deaf and hard of hearing kids. But when you look at this list, you will understand why my funding agency keeps calling me and saying, Barbara, why don't you give it to hearing kids? And me saying, I'd love to. I wish they'd use it. So here we have it. Just to show you a few images, what we mean by trying to make it visual, trying to minimize our, you'll see written words, but trying to minimize the language level, trying to make it something that youngsters can see, and there are lots of things to do. Just giving you a chance to look at some of these images that we used. Well, the challenge, we had this in our curriculum. The faculty comments were terrific. Not everyone used all of it. Nobody used all of it, which is another issue in assessment. But we received praise. They loved the graphics. They loved the comprehensive information, the fact that discussion was encouraged, student interest. They used it selectively. I know that. They used it at varying skill levels. For example, it was grade 7 through 12th. The 11th graders were often using the 8th grade materials. The 12th graders often use the 7th grade materials. We now also have a 5th and 6th grade curriculum that we developed untested afterwards at the request of our faculty. And it was at various skill levels. But they liked that they had the similar concepts, addiction, but at each of the grade levels, and they could mix and match, pull and push, and use this as they wished. Did we get any results from all of this? Well, we did. We found that while our students were just about the same at baseline, we did see a reduction in past month smoking, fairly considerable at one of the intervention schools, a decline in smokeless tobacco at the other. Our intervention schools both reported, yes, now we deliver tobacco education. There was a decline an increase in anti-tobacco attitudes, more tobacco knowledge and the like. Now comes the challenge we're facing now. How do we disseminate this? How do we get the word out? Well, we have gone to all kinds of meetings to talk about this from a tobacco perspective. Today's talk, for example, is about tobacco. So I'm here talking about a tobacco program. We've been at Gallaudet, we've been at Adara, we've been here several times, we've been at the Southeast Regional Institute for the Deaf. We've tried to talk about tobacco. We've also tried something else. We've tried to slide in a discussion of our curriculum at other kinds of presentations, and here I want to mention my colleague, Deborah Sue Guthman. She is Director of Pupil Services at California School for the Deaf Fremont and very, very connected in the deaf community. So when Deb stands up and talks about curriculum development, she can be talking about math, and she mentions our curriculum on tobacco. When she talks about professional training, she mentions our curriculum. I think Deb feels she can't go anywhere. And I'm not going to say to her, did you mention the curriculum? And talk about it and try to weave it in. We've presented at organizations for the deaf, universities, statewide trainings, educator meetings, public health organizations. We have it on a website. You can get this free. California Healthy Kids Resource Center, glad to send it to you. Minnesota Chemical Dependency Center, we've tried websites. The copies of the curriculum are free for our beautiful bound white book. This fat. We'll send it to you for the cost of shipping, but you can get it right offline as well. We've published articles, word of mouth, and now our tobacco, our funding agency has given us a little money to come back and yet visit again. The real question we want to consider now, and this is our push, Dr. Guthman keeps working with the deaf community. She's wired into the deaf community. She wants the word widespread. And we have gotten over 50 requests for the curriculum. We are thrilled about this. But the question then becomes, can we distribute this and get this to hearing youth? Our funding agency seems to feel that we can, and we'd like to get the word out. Can we disseminate a curriculum for the deaf, which is, remember that list, lots of repetition, simple language, themes repeated at various grade levels. These are things that are very good, we feel, specifically for low literacy populations. We are going to additional meetings that are upcoming. We continue to try to go to meetings. We are going to a meeting for youngsters with other types of disabilities and handicaps to see if we can get this word out. Any recommendations you have for me, any place we're not thinking of, you tell me and we'll try and be there. So I thank you very much for your attention.